So hold that with me. Let's light that candle there. It's windy in here. All right. Now stay right here. Now we're going to read a few words. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are anticipating and preparing ourselves for those days that will come. Isaiah 2 says, "Those days are when the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." The Gospel of John says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us walk in the light of the Lord." Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, buddy. We can go back now, okay? Then others. Companies like Ford and Apple have figured this out pretty well. They've realized that they're not necessarily in the business of selling cars or iPads, but they're in something bigger than that. In Ford's case, they're in the transportation industry. They're selling you ease and comfort in life that you might not normally get. Apple realizes it's not just in the technology sector. It's actually selling you a lifestyle, presenting you with needs that you never even knew you had before, and saying, "We can help solve those needs for you." Good messaging does at least three things. It gives you a clear idea that connects with you emotionally, makes you realize something that just stirs in your heart. It highlights a problem or a need that you have in your life, whether you were aware of it or not. Some of the most subversive messaging does this especially well. It also lets you know how their product will help you overcome this problem in your life. And the third thing is they actually do what they promise or claim. Have you ever bought one of those things, you get it home, you're like, "This thing is terrible. It does not do what it says it was going to do. Late night infomercial, you were wrong about this." I brought one of my favorite products here. It's not what you might think. It is Deep Woods Off, one of my favorite products, and living in Minnesota, absolute necessity. And actually, I just read a story that some lady down in Fremont just released like 2 million or 2 billion mosquitoes into the environment to try to actually eradicate West Nile virus in that area. Sort of like a mosquito bomb to other mosquitoes. But Deep Woods Off, maybe you remember the old grainy commercials. The quality is so bad I couldn't even show it today, but it's just a guy sitting in a tent, kind of a burly guy, and he says, "They have released 10,000 mosquitoes in this tent, but I'm not getting bit because I use Deep Woods Off." It's one of the greatest products ever made. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But did you know that repelling mosquitoes is not what this bottle is selling? What is this bottle selling? There's two messages that it's communicating. And actually, if you go to the Deep Woods Off website, they tell you what those messages are. Number one, make the most of your time outside. That's what they're selling. If you use this product, you will be able to make the most of your time outside. And the second one, protect your family from mosquitoes. And who doesn't want to protect their family? Those are the messages. It's all about happy families and enjoying the outdoors and sports and outdoor events. Deep Woods Off. Long-lasting protection. I'm going to put this over here. Unfortunately, some messages are less than stellar. Some of them are even downright destructive. They can cause damage. Here are a few recent messages by churches. on their outdoor signs, and you've seen them before. These are all epic fails. I'm just going to list four of them. Whoever stole our mower, God will get you. I put that first one in because it's at least slightly humorous. The others, not so much. Go to church or the devil will get you. Go to church or go to hell. And my least favorite one, turn or burn. And the question I was thinking about after 2,000 years, is this really the best that the church can do? Is this the message of good news that the world needs to hear? I don't think so. Maybe not a first message, and definitely not in that way. Maybe these were just lame attempts to be funny, and there's a whole lot of other funny ones. If you just Google church signs or outdoor church signs, you'll find a lot of funny ones, and you'll find a lot of very offensive ones. In each one of these examples, they failed to read the temperature of the world that they live in. They failed to consider their potential audience. They might have felt it was funny as a church, but to those who do not yet know the good news, what does that communicate to people that are hurting? I call this is why I brought Deep Woods Off, as I almost burned my arm. Deep Woods Off evangelism. Deep Woods Off evangelism. You have this wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, and instead of sharing how life-transforming it can be, you take the can and you spray someone right in the face. And nobody likes getting sprayed in the face with Deep Woods Off. It stings, it burns, it drives you away. So this morning, let's consider the message we are communicating as we look to God's Word. Your bulletin lists that one question that I referenced. And I want you to think of that one person right now. Maybe they live with you, maybe you work with them, as we said. How does Mark introduce his gospel account? As you think about that one person, if you are a writer and you need to write their name down to remind yourself in the week to come, then you can go ahead and do that. The Gospel of Mark. Let me read verse 1. I didn't put anything up on the screen today because I want to keep us focused. He drops us right into the heart of what was going on. He actually doesn't spend any time talking about the birth of Jesus right now. Verse 1, he says this, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God." That's how he starts his gospel account. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is a message that the people of Israel especially were waiting for a very long time. Hundreds of years waiting to hear this good news. That the Messiah, Jesus, who we know as Jesus, was coming. The following periods between the Old Testament and the New Testament are sometimes called the quiet period, some 400 years. But this is actually a time in history that was far from quiet. We don't read anything about it in the Bible, but if you read a little bit about history, there was a lot going on at this time. Empires were rising and falling. The Persians rose and fell. The Greeks under Alexander the Great rose and fell. Remember that 10% Jewish remnant we talked briefly about last week? Well, they revolted and actually achieved independence for about 100 years in this time until their Roman oppressors shoved them down again. All of that happened in the time before the gospel accounts were written, before Jesus came, and it sets the stage. There are tensions between Jews and foreigners. There's resentment of occupying forces that's going on. There's great anticipation and expectation that the Messiah would come soon. All of that is happening when Mark writes his account, and suddenly presents us with the picture of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, that crazy guy who had camel hair clothing, although maybe there are some people around here that would wear like a camel hair coat today. Maybe that's trendy. Back then, no. That just indicated you were kind of a weird prophet dude from the desert. He ate honey and locusts. He kind of walked to the own beat of, or the beat of his own drummer. He comes out of the wilderness, and suddenly Mark says, this is the guy who's going to announce the guy who's coming. He's not the guy. He's here to announce the guy. Why do you need someone to announce the guy? Why would we need someone to announce our arrival? Sometimes, I don't know if any of you are like political nerds, or you turn on the TV, maybe they have the State of the Union address. And usually what happens before that is that there's this one dude who stands right by the door of the whole chamber, and he says in a loud booming voice, now entering the President of the United States. And everyone kind of realizes, okay, now it's time to be quiet and listen up, no matter who is in that role. And so sometimes we need this person to announce the arrival of something that is just about to happen. And this is what John the Baptist is going to do. When we read verse 1, it takes on new meaning. People were waiting 400 plus years for this to happen. And when you've been under occupation and marginalized, when you are poor and you are feeling smashed down, you need a message of hope that a Savior is coming, and for us has indeed come. A message of hope is powerful stuff. Let me read verses 2 and 3. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. For Mark, there's no doubt that this John the Baptist, however weird he might seem at first, is the one that God sent to prepare the way for who we know is Jesus. How does John prepare the way? He does something completely brand new. You see, there were already rituals about cleansing yourself. There were also already versions of baptism that were floating around in various religions at this time. But never has this happened in the history of the world until this moment. Verse 4, so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See, up until that point, if you did sins, you had to go to the temple, you had to give sacrifices, you had to do all this stuff, all these rituals to sort of make yourself right again, and yet you'd have to do it again, sort of like confessing over and over and over again. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins would prepare the hearts of the people to receive Jesus. I've been thinking about that one person in my life right now. And it's really hard to get through if someone is not prepared to hear it. And it may not even be something as large as salvation. Maybe it's just doing that one thing that you wish they didn't do. And you know that when someone is not ready to hear something, they will do everything in their power to avoid listening to you. It's almost like that's part of the human condition. When John comes to preach this baptism of repentance, he says, I can't forgive sins, only God can do that. But we can cleanse ourselves and prepare ourselves for the one who can do that for all people. This is good news. This is good news. That when Christ came and died and rose again, he made it possible for all of us to be forgiven and restored into relationship with God our Father. This is good news. It's not even like down and depressing news. This is good news. This ain't no gospel repellent here. This is actual good news. Sometimes we treat it like it's just sort of normal news or mediocre news or even bad news. One thing it's not. It's not fake news. Verse 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him, that's John the Baptist, in the Jordan River. Verse 6. He wore clothing made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was probably the original hipster. Not that cool. Verses 7 and 8. And this was his message. After me comes one, the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And if there's anything we know about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, is that that is good news. There is power in the Spirit of God receiving that. See, John is also smart. He knows his purpose as well. He knows he's not the man. He's only meant to point to the one who is to come. So he doesn't make it about himself. He comes dressed all normal and homely and camel hair. I'm trying to picture that, and I just can't right now. He knows that Jesus Christ is coming, one who is stronger than him. This is good news indeed. How are we to hear this 2,000 years later? First, I would say, a message of repentance, if that's your opening line, is deep woods off. Now, it's important. But if that's your opening line, and we do this, I'm not sure that it's very effective anymore. See, repentance is important, and it's not just remembering our sins or thinking about them or even feeling bad about being imperfect. It's not only turning away from sin and evil, but it's also turning to Christ. Turning to Christ as that first step of transformation. The good news is that we don't just put away our previous way of life, but that we are ushered into the life with Christ. Eternal life with God. Hear Jesus' first public words in verse 15. This is what Jesus says. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. And he doesn't stop there. He says, and believe the good news. See, Christ is looking for a change from us. He does accept us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. He is expecting us to change, but he says, you're not going to have to do it alone. My Spirit is with you. Your fellow brothers and sisters are here to help you. One of the reasons that the street corner, repent, you're going to hell method really doesn't work is that there's no relationship that's built there. There's no sense that you actually care about the person when we're just focused on the problem. Repent and believe the good news. This message is timeless. This message, the gospel message, never changes. But, or as Amy likes to say, and, the way we communicate it always changes in response to how our world is. What worked then may not work now. What worked in the stories that we read about in the Bible may not be so effective nowadays. If the first message that someone sees in you or through the church is hate, judgment, hypocrisy, greed, power, control. Do any of those sound like good news? No, I don't think so. we effectively have taken this, the good news, and turned it into that. Gospel repellent. This is the deep woods off approach to sharing good news, and being sprayed in the face, like we said before, never feels good. Instead of repellent, how might we be the opposite? Gospel attractant. I brought another product, of course. This one, I actually can do this. Oh, yeah. Ooh, wow, I got like a misted and everything. Consider this different product, Febreze. No, I'm not endorsing Febreze, although I did have this at home. Its message is this: go on, breathe in happy. That's the message of Febreze. I went on their website and checked it out. And it does this by saying, eliminate odors, or odors out, freshness in. And it draws people in. It's a product that draws people in. It promotes a smile. It actually is something that's kind of pleasing, unless you're someone that really doesn't like smells or scents. I'm sorry about that. It makes you take a second look around when you walk into a place that smells kind of fresh and inviting, Febreze. The good news is that God loves you unconditionally. And he's ready to forgive and offer you a new way of life. And this has always been attractive. It's gospel attractant. Because the message of God is that it can transform and change your life forever. Yes, Jesus called people to repent and turn to him, but he also didn't heap judgment and ridicule on them. He said his peace, and if people responded, great. And if they didn't, he moved on. It's kind of humbling when we think that even Jesus moved on if someone wasn't ready to hear. He didn't refuse them service when they needed help. He didn't worry whether they said happy holidays or Merry Christmas. How many times has that kind of gotten your bile up in your throat when you hear that? For Christ, that's no concern, whether someone says one thing or the other. All that he's concerned about is the heart ready to hear the good news. So think of that person who's on your heart right now. That one person. And our question, how will I communicate the good news of Jesus Christ this season to them? I tried to think of a couple of ways that might be fairly straightforward. Here's three of them. Number one, maybe live a God-honoring life. Now that's the long game approach. It's not the pill, pop a pill approach. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be that Christian, you know, the type, that angry, combative, sullen person who you look at and you really don't see good news. You see just another list of some things that I'm not going to do very well at. Instead, show that Christ has made a difference in your life by the words you use, the behaviors you show, the attitudes that you have. It does make a difference. Here's a second one, and this is one that maybe is appropriate for this season. Show up. Show up. People know that you care when you show up, when you're there for them. Don't say you're going to do something and then don't. Spend time together. Why does pointing out the flaws of someone else rarely work? Because it's so easy to do that. It doesn't require me to do anything. It doesn't require me to spend any time with them. Spend time together, meet needs, offer to listen. That will do more to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ than the 5 seconds you spend on Amazon to send them a gift. Now, that we might have to do that for some of our folks that are far away. Third, pray for people that you connect with. These are all things that we can do all the time. If you don't have at least one person in your life who is not yet a Christian, who has not yet heard and responded to the good news of Jesus Christ, then pray for God to send someone into your life that you might be able to impact. It might be that annoying coworker. And maybe you're not called to share the gospel message right at that first moment. Maybe it's just by how you are in the workplace, how you are when you're in the restaurant with them. Perhaps it simply is starting to show the love, grace, and patience that Christ always showed those who did not yet know him in the Bible. Do you know that the times when Christ gets agitated and angry, who is that usually towards? The people that should know better already. The people that call themselves the people of God. And yet when there are people that do not yet know him, he always is loving. And he reserves judgment. And he gives them an opportunity. And some take it, and some don't. Maybe that's what we're called to do as well. Christ's message is never bitter repellent. It's the pleasing scent of the good news. So go on, just like Febreze. Breathe it in. You don't even have to smell it. You won't get, you know, your asthma won't act up or anything like that. Your allergies won't. Go on, breathe it in, and then allow your life to be that breath of fresh air to that one person in your life. This is the gift of this time of Advent, where we can pause, we can think about the impact that we have. All the other busyness, that'll take care of itself. That will happen regardless, you know that. But for now, we can pause and breathe. For this is the life-transforming power of Christ in you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your Son. I thank you that you love us so much that you've never given up on us. You've never given up on this world, no matter how much darkness is here. No matter how it seems as if the darkness is growing, you provided the light of the world, Jesus. God, I pray for this group of people that you've gathered here today, that you might allow us to reflect the light of Jesus into the world. God, if there are things that we are doing right now that are not pleasing to you, we confess those. We repent of our sin, and we turn back to you. And you always accept us. God, that's amazing. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive this. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So live in him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, go out into this world to love and serve him. Go in peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.